This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
You know, the difficulty is the new generation have stopped asking the question. I have had people, yesterday, someone sent me an email to say, look, as a female, I need oral sex.
The private part in the genitals, a source of a lot of infections. Sheikh, is there a hadith that says oral sex for both males and females haram? What is being presented in the porn movies and the porn industry does not represent the reality or the truth whatsoever.
All right, let's go to role plays in sexual intimacy between spouses.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my brothers, my sisters in Islam, bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unplugged, a video series that we have started, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, a couple of years ago, and it reached the millions by Allah's favor and blessings, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these videos beneficial to one and all. But one episode in particular that attracted the attention of so many around the world. And towards the end of that episode, we made a plea. We actually reach out to you and we ask you to provide a feedback. And that episode was the last one when we were in Indonesia together, myself, Dr. Muhammad Salah, Mufti Ismail Ming, and we told you that based on your feedback, we will inshallah ta'ala record a second episode. And that was the sexual responsibility and roles in Islam for, of course, married couples. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from one and all. But before we dig into the discussion of part two, I owe you an apology, Mufti.
Tell me.
Many people told me you were interrupting Mufti Ming in the first discussion. So apologies, please forgive me. Because I didn't interrupt you, that's the problem. But many people were pointing at this, that you interrupted Mufti Ming a lot.
I didn't mind the interruptions. They were beneficial, mashallah.
Forgive me. So we need to maintain the time of the session. So let's dig into it. Dr. Muhammad Salah, Mufti Ismail Ming, welcome back to Unplugged. And the first question which came a lot, this episode is based on the comments of the first video. And one of the questions that came throughout the pages of Mufti Ming, Dr. Muhammad Salah and myself is oral sex. Is it halal? Is it flat out haram? Are there anything in particular permissible, not allowed? Bismillah. Take the lead.
Bismillah.
Basically, there are two opinions among the scholars. There is the opinion that says that nothing of that nature is permissible because of a person being a believer, you use the tongue and the mouth to say the shahada and so on, and the honorable things and so on. And the other opinion says, look, if someone wants to lick their nose or do something, it's considered perhaps not upon a level that would be encouraged or something, but to move to the level of prohibition would be beyond what is clearly stated as a prohibition. So the two opinions, one is that it should be avoided, and the other is there is a scope of permissibility. Perhaps Dr. Muhammad can
elaborate
on that a little bit further, because I'm sure he would have greater experience with Huda and with all the questions that he gets usually. You know, the difficulty is the new generation have stopped asking the question. They involve in it without asking. And they say, look, what is haram in this? If it is clean, and if it is if there is no dalil specifically prohibiting it, why are you prohibiting it for us? So they stopped asking. So we're basically talking to those who are really concerned and maybe the older lot. I have had people, yesterday, someone sent me an email to say, look, as a female, I need oral sex. This is the question. And I recently got married. My husband is not going to do that. He said it's prohibited. What do I do? I'm not going to. It's early on in the marriage. And it's a tough one to navigate because I can't convince you to follow an opinion. If the husband believes that it's not allowed, I mean, how do I convince him, look, there is another opinion? And if someone is following the other opinion, how do I convince them the other way? Dr. Muhammad, you have to really navigate through this one because it is one of the crucial questions that needs to be hit head on. You have the... You know, I don't want to call it the old school, but you have the...
You already did.
No, I don't want to call it the old school, but you know, there needs to be a balance.
But there are people out there are coming now saying what's halal, what's haram, without really being grounded.
Okay, to start with, can I say something really important, more important than the question of oral sex? That is, please ensure that your private parts are very, very clean at all times. That's something that you should never compromise. And this is why you and I know about halqul ana, that, you know, the removal of the hair of the entire private area is something from the fitrah. And we should be doing it on a regular basis. Some people have asked, are you allowed to laser? Are you allowed to wax? Are you allowed to remove this way? You remove it however you have to.
You just give him another question, though.
Allahu Akbar. Yeah. Allahu Akbar.
You add it to the list, mashallah.
We add it to the list.
This is something very important for people to know.
Yes, do you see how deep it goes? So this time I'm interrupting you, Habib.
Allahu Akbar.
So nonetheless, if it, the place needs to be clean. I mean, if someone wants to really, you know, if they can really kiss someone on the nose and bite the nose and lick somebody's nose and lick somebody's ears. I mean, if the place is generally clean, it's very different from if, you know, you have green snots coming out and you say, can I lick the nose? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. May Allah forgive us. Sorry about that.
That's the third question. Licking the nose. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa ala nabihi Mustafa wa ba'd. Alhamdulillah, Islam and science go in hand. And they are in harmony in every aspect by the grace of Allah. So it is very important also to consider the pathological aspect of it. The private part and the genitals, a source of a lot of infections. Especially, there are a lot of people who may have STDs, like HP and human papilloma and so on, and they don't know only when it breaks out. The transmission, not necessarily because of sexual contact, there are so many reasons. You know, the clinics, the toilet seats, the public toilet seats, etc. So if it happens, and one of the partners, especially the female, happen to pick any of these STDs, and you can imagine a person is put in his mouth where there is STDs, sexual transmitted diseases. This is completely not advised, because it's not about the cleanliness. You're talking about a viral infection. So it's sitting there, even if you wash so many times.
But even in this case, penetration would be also not advisable.
Well, if they are having sexual contact, then one time is sufficient to pick it up, okay? But we're talking about admitting it to your mouth and having those, you know, rashes and so on your lips. And so the pathological aspect of it is very, very important to consider. This is a place which is full of microorganisms, infection. So maintaining its cleanness, as my dear brother said, is something really important, especially when you happen to use public toilets and stuff like that. Secondly, yes, there is no direct prophetic prohibition. It's neither mentioned in the Quran nor in the sound hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't do oral sex. As a matter of fact, last time when we spoke about anal penetration, yes, there is a straightforward a hadith forbidding that. But when it comes to oral sex, and since it was not even considered, it wasn't on the screen, it wasn't something that people even inquired about in the past, simply because of the widespread of the porn clips and having these sceneries available to everyone, then people started
to learn,
getting aroused, learning, trying to experiment,
navigating.
But in a Muslim society and in a modest society, never ever anyone thought about it before. But since it is there, we have to handle it. We have to attend to the viewers and to the Muslim Ummah. It is our responsibility. So in brief, Sheikh, is there a hadith that says oral sex for both males and females haram? No, there is no hadith. So then it's not haram. Well, there is no hadith. But there is a hadith in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked touching one's private heart, private part with the right hand. He said, always use the left hand. Do not touch the very private part with the right hand. This is the hand, not
the mouth.
So if you look at it from the perspective of not the old school cleanness, considering that, you know, this tongue is normally used for the remembrance of Allah, the recitation of the Quran,
it is better to avoid it. But do we have a reference where the Prophet ﷺ said it is haram? No, we don't. So let's put it this way.
So regarding the issue that Mufti Mink mentioned, that someone asked, like a lady asked him via email about that, she needed it. She is inquiring it from her husband.
Well,
in those cases also, it's better not to...
You know, it is interesting because the spouse may detest it, may think it is disgusting. And of course, in small circles and in the counseling sessions, one of the partners say that it is disgusting. I feel like I want to throw up, and the other partner enjoys it. So not because you enjoy it, you make your partner throw up or vomit. They don't like it. Even if it is halal, don't push them to do it.
I actually came across a few years ago someone who said that one of the questions before marriage was, what's your opinion on oral sex? And they were embarrassed. They said, how could they have asked this question pre-marriage? And I said, you know what, maybe you just need to answer the question and say what you think.
They should.
Maybe
they should.
It's an important thing. You know?
It is, because if one of the partners, whether he or she, the future partner, dare to ask the question, that means it represents to them an ideology.
You see, there was a time when this was not even asked because it didn't exist. I mean, people might laugh at it, but there was a time, like if it did happen, it would have been mentioned somewhere in the Kutub, in somewhere in the Ahadith, somewhere in the
Sirah.
Yes, or in the Islamic history. But because there is no mention of it before a certain time, so it's become urf, or it's become from the urf of certain people, it's seeped into, you know, those who were more modest about this particular thing. And that's why today the debate is such that, like I said earlier, the young generation, they don't, to them, it's not even a question. And honestly so. Because there was a certain event I attended, and one of the things that I tried to ask a few of the youngsters is, you know what, what exactly are your views on this? And, you know, they said, what do you mean? It's not, besides anal penetration, there's nothing else that is haram. And
And because pornography became the main primary educator in this area, walayadu billah, may Allah protect us, now we receive a lot of emails from husbands and from wives that the actions, the disgusting action shows in these films also have entered Muslim homes as a result.
I remember in Medina, we asked one of the mashayikh there when we were students, just young, and he said, it's not recommended, but you can't say it's prohibited. So, they left it at that. And we were, that time, I was too young and shy to even ask further. We just kept quiet and, you know,
One thing, Brother Wael just brought up, talking about the porn industry, that we need to share with the viewers something really important. What is being presented in the porn movies and the porn industry does not represent the reality or the truth whatsoever. And most of the those who are involved
in the actors
or the actresses, they have to administer some sort of drugs in order to bear
the pain,
you know, the
medication,
and the filth that they are involved in, which even animals do not degrade themselves to such level. How do we know that? We know that because of a lot of documentaries, whether on Discovery Channel or whatever.
And they have confessed. After they've come out, there are a few who have actually come
some
open.
Some who quit, and some who, after contracting some serious STDs, and they are just waiting for their death, they warn. They warn the youngsters, especially. A lot of college girls who want to pay for their education, and they find easy money there. You know, thousands of dollars on a daily basis. So they destroy them and they give them drugs in order to be capable to resume. So what you see in these movies do not represent the reality whatsoever, unless if you're going to lose your life as well.
In fact, there is a professor in Australia by the name of Mary Crabb. She actually traveled to certain parts in the States and she interviewed porn stars. And one of them mentioned that those who are trying to imitate us in the homes, they need to see psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the lips of the people in the industry. May Allah protect us all. All right, let's go to role plays in sexual intimacy between spouses.
Mm-hmm.
Handcuffing, acting as if they're raping the wives, like a scene as if he kidnapped the wife, he threw her in the bed, physically became violent, and they call it marital rape.
Have you ever heard about someone trying some role play and they choked their wife and she died? I read that a few years ago in the news that they died and they were...
We have seen a broken neck case in Australia as well.
I think those who are into that, they definitely need to visit and see a psychiatrist.
Sheikhna, if I can add something, I think it depends what exactly the role playing is about.
What he mentioned is
what you've mentioned
marital
is like
rape. They call it marital rape now.
I think there's a difference between the two.
Okay.
Role play is generally when you're pretending to, you put up a scene. You know, you want to have fun with perhaps something that's been in your mind or whatever it might have been. I think if it is something crazy, like where you're handcuffing and being violent and doing some things, that would have a ruling. But if it's someone who says, look, I'd like you to dress up, I'd like you to be this, I'd like you to that, to a certain extent, perhaps, you know, the lighter of it might be, it's not a prohibited thing. It makes you guys happy and it's something that's not violent. It's something that's not low in its moral itself, not degrading of anyone.
When he mentioned the role playing, what crossed my mind first, the cross-dressing.
No, cross-dressing... You
know, and this is something that we need to address.
No, Islam does not allow that. No. Islam doesn't allow a male to become or be a female.
Like
Islam
that.
Doesn't allow that. It's, according to Islamic law, it's very clear on that.
And Habibi, we have to tell the viewers that there is a difference between makruh and haram and accursed. Because this kind of role-playing, if a man dresses like a woman...
It's a curse involved.
A woman dresses like a man. Just mere dressing, even in private, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cursed those who do so. And cursing means attardu min rahmatillah, to be deprived from Allah's mercy on the day of judgment. La'ana Allahu ar-rajul yalbasu libsata al-mar'a wal mar'atu talbasu libsata al-rajul. It is absolutely accursed. Cross dressing, even in the bedroom, even for fun, is something that whoever does it is accursed by Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yeah, that's an Islamic ruling. Actually, that's an Islamic ruling. And you know, one of the strange things is that a lot of people think that now that I'm married, I can do whatever I want. Mm. But in actual fact, Islam holds us at the highest values and morals, even in the bedroom, and even in warfare. Like when there's a war going on, you cannot just do what you like.
There are restrictions.
That these are your enemies. No, these are your brothers that you've disagreed with, or you need to fight for a reason, but you've got to be humane. That's why the treatment of prisoners of war, the way you attack a person, someone who's surrendering, you're not allowed to touch them. So all of that, there is discipline in everything. Within the bedroom, it's probably the biggest discipline. But Allah says you enjoy, you know, because of it being halal, in a respectable, beautiful way.
Touching the face, punching
you don't
in the
belittle
face,
someone.
Snapping, this is absolutely forbidden.
You don't belittle someone, you don't abuse them.
Language also, the tongue.
A lot of people have said the only time I swear is when I'm in bed.
Can you imagine?
Swearing first?
So calling his wife, for example, a word that is known for people who does the fahisha, wal-ayadu billah, those kind of words that also are heard usually on these pornographic films.
A B.I.T. basically.
And the Prophet ﷺ also taught us about several diseases of the tongue, that a man may utter a word that may anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result of it, yahwi biha fi jahannam sab'una kharifa. Someone may utter a word as a result of the anger and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a word may take its utterer to hellfire wal-ayadu billah for 70 years. So is this allowed in Islam? Is this something that acceptable within
Well, this is a very sensitive topic, and to be honest with you, only a word which incur a fahisha. Like, you know, in Islam, if a man says to any person a word which a lot of people use, such as, I'm sorry to say, the word bastard, which means born out of wedlock. Am I correct?
Yeah.
This word is, it requires a severe punishment in Islam. It's called qadf. It's even mentioned in Surah An-Nur. And the accusation, even if it is just a joke, it is punishable in Islam. So whether a wife, whether in bed, whether having sexual fun,
this word should be avoided whatsoever, whether describing a female or describing a male. This is something not to be, but lighter words which may spice up the relationship, which does not refer to being an adulterer or an adulteress or born out of wedlock, enjoy.
I see. Simple and clear.
May Allah protect us.
That's why I said it is very sensitive.
Some people are very creative in the type of words they use, Habibi.
And by the way, you know, every language...
And I'm sure in the comments, we're going to have all these words. People saying, la hawla, la hawla.
We're stepping into a very
sensitive,
risky and sensitive area. Why? Look, we're not looking into trend. We already have, mashallah, millions of followers. But we cater for what people need, especially the youth. Because unfortunately, you will not find it anywhere else. Am I correct?
Like I said, they don't ask anymore. They just do it. But I mean, the guy, look, he uses the F word. And when you ask him, why are you using it? He said, well, that's exactly what's happening, you know. So why shouldn't I use it? Yeah, why shouldn't I use the word? No, what I mean is that, you know, when you say F you to somebody, what are you referring to? He says, well, I'm in the act with my own spouse. Now what do I say? So basically, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So
move on.
Yeah, just move on. So basically, it's tough, wallahi. And that's why, look, I believe mu'mineen are supposed to be upon the highest level of, yes. And the words and everything. Now, I remember some time a guy says, you know, if we have to behave the way some of the sheikhs have to say, you know, our sexual relation with our spouse will just be so formal, like you're in an office and, you know, that's it. You just get done and you move.
How do they know how the sheikhs behave in bed?
No, they say the way the sheikhs are speaking, you know, okay. To say that you have to. Because I remember there's one sheikh says, stuff a long back, I mean, sheikh, he said that you're not allowed to remove your undergarment. You have to just... You know, your trousers. I'm thinking, how are you going to do things? You know, how are you going to do things? But it's there. They say, no, you must have shyness to that degree, so they can't, don't take off their clothes. Saying, if you're not going to, remove your clothing.
There are some schools who believe that even while taking a shower. This question I've received tons of times. Is it okay to sit naked while taking a shower? So they take shower with their undergarments.
So some people might laugh, but there are people like for example, someone says, how can you have lingerie, you know? So I said, that's true. You mean what lingerie, you know? Meaning, this is you're not supposed to have anything.
This is something that we're not saying it's permissible. We say you should.
Yes, so if it comes to lingerie, something, you know, I don't want to say brand names, but... They have this, you know, the underwear that might be attractive, depending on what your spouse likes. Some spouses do not like certain types of underwear, which you might think they would like. You can find out and so on. And that is all permissible, Habibi. That's permissible.
Now, sometimes couples get married and the husband will travel to a different country for his livelihood. And they will stay far away from each other for a year, for two, for three. And to... you know, provide themselves with pleasure, they will open the cameras and they do what is known as cyber sex. What's now the fiqhi opinion on this? And I wanted to mention a few things quickly, inshallah. By the way, those who open their cameras and engage in these, what is known as cyber sex, be absolutely vigilant, even if you're married couples, because there are hackers out there who works for these pornographic sites. They are hunting these types of conversations to download your video.
A lot of families' lives have been destroyed as a result.
Actually, there is an AI tool that hackers use in order to pick up skin on your phone. And the minute it happens, they are alerted and they will hack into your system and record that video as it's happening without you knowing. May Allah protect everyone.
Many of these videos found their ways to pornographic websites, so be absolutely
careful. SubhanAllah, instead of trying to treat the side effects, why don't we treat the disease itself, the cause of the problem? The cause of the problem, look how the ummah and its ulama and its true leaders handled this issue since the beginning. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, while walking in the streets, investigating the condition of the ummah, the ra'iyya, and he heard a woman, she was making a poetry, how much she is missing her husband, and had it not been for the fear of Allah, somebody else will be in bed with her right now. Immediately he went home, and he asked his daughter Hafsa, who was the Prophet's wife, he asked her a question. He said, for how long can a woman bear patiently the absence of her husband? you know, not having an intimate relationship with him. And she realized that he's asking for the benefit of the ummah. She said, you know, 4 to 6 months. So he immediately released a decree. All the Muslim commanders of chiefs, because the Muslim armies were spread all over during the time of Umar ibn Khattab. This woman's husband was deployed in one of the armies. So he said that maximum period of absence is 6 months. 4 months on the battlefield or in the military camp, and 1 month traveling and 1 month returning, because the journey, it takes a month or so. So total maximum 6 months.
That's what?
And during,
battlefield.
Now this question was presented to me tons of times, especially on Ask Hoda. So I advise those who are called the kafil, you know, the sponsors, the expats who come from all over the world, in order to work, to earn their living, especially in the Gulf. So some, you know, they take their passports away and they promise them next year, next year, next year, and they end up working for several years without having a chance to return, to check on their families physically, not only to have an intimate relationship, but also to see his mother before she died, his father before he's buried, his son when he got married, whatever. I would like to tell our rich brothers, those who have companies and businesses and are a lot of expats, you know, this is superior to building a masjid. This is superior to giving in a charity here and there, even if you pay him the ticket out of your pocket. And it is absolutely his right. So if his wife is not living with him, his family is not living with him, once a year they must go back. If you want to follow the sunnah, if you want to become a pious man, a couple of times every year, 2 weeks and 2 weeks. So this is an annual leave, 1 month divided every 6 months. And every person signs a contract, you understand that it's not only you who have rights, you know, also your wife and your children. When you say disciple sex, and mashallah elaborated on the danger of being recorded and then being exposed. Some people take their lives when they see themselves and their wives, you know, millions of viewership, and they don't know what to do. You know, they're being exposed, even though they thought. That's why in fiqh they say, al-hukmu ala shay'i far'un an tasawwurihi. You cannot give a verdict unless if you encompass all the circumstances of the mas'ala. So now we added to the faqih something that if you are online, you're not actually alone. There is Big Brother, there are a lot of hackers, there is AI, there is whatever. So be careful, you're not alone. May I add something really important? Even if no one, if you are on a secure network, and you're sure that it's you and your spouse alone, does it mean that it's okay to masturbate? Because what do you mean cyber sex? You are in a different country, she is in a different country. How would you stimulate her? She would have to stimulate herself. And how would you stimulate yourself? By yourself. That's called what?
Masturbation.
So masturbation, inducing masturbation and sexual discharge is haram. I know that some of our colleagues said, you know, it's halal, but they are missing one point, which is...
They said it's makruh.
When does it become okay? When we compare between two cases, two conditions, one which is definitely the person is about to commit adultery.
Zina. Yeah. They say it protects you from the greatest sin. Zina.
Last night, after we had dinner, I shared with Brother Wael an incident. I don't want to say it live. But, you know, a woman approached me in the street. And, you know, I figured that she is a worker, one of those who do this kind of, like a prostitute. Subhanallah, she's hunting for men. So, when a person thinks, since I've been away from my spouse for a while, and there is a fear that the person would fall in zina, big time, in this case, the alternative, which is also haram, but it's a lesser haram than committing adultery. So when you hear one of the shuyukh saying that masturbation is halal, it is not absolute halal. Mm. When you do it, you understand that you're committing
haram. It's the last resort.
It is the last resort. in case that you fear committing adultery.
A follow-up on this masturbation part, the use of certain toys in the presence of both the spouse are together, but they use, instead of their organs, they use toys to stimulate each other. Is the use of these toys halal or haram in Islam?
You see, when the two are together and they're in the bedroom, and it also, again, depends on the stimulators that someone wants to use, exactly what it is, you know. So you're replacing what you're supposed to be doing with something else totally, then why are you there, you know? But if it is something to spice it up, then again, it depends exactly what it is. There are so many things out there, it's crazy.
I hope that the viewers are appreciating that we're talking about very sensitive.
And another thing, it's tough for us to talk about it because we ourselves are not absolutely sure about exactly what there is. We are only aware of it through questions that come through people who say things and describe things. And it's crazy enough anyway. So I can only imagine what it must be in the real sense, you know. And there is so much that happens. There is, for example, I'll give you one quick example. There's a lady who says, and this happens with in many cases, says, you know what, my husband does whatever he has to, he's done, I'm not yet done, and he's just, you know, not even bothered, he can't. So is it okay for me to carry on myself to ensure that I have climaxed? And the husband says, here is a toy for you, and you can do your thing, you know? So it's insensitive on the part of the husband. And number two is, what option are you leaving her with? Another thing is what type, some people use their own hands, right? And some people cannot be stimulated unless they use their own hands.
And that's the addictive part of the action.
Yeah. No, and sometimes it depends.
Which is permissible if it is the hands of the spouse. Mm. Like, you know, masturbation, but by the hand of the spouse is permissible. Yeah. It's not haram.
Because it's part of the act.
And that's why if the husband is done, some people have a premature ejaculation, and it's some sickness. It's treatable, though.
And some women
they take longer.
Stimulation is very different from woman to woman, according to what I learned.
Also, simply because of extreme circumcision, as it was done in the past, extreme.
In some conditions.
So, in this case, the husband should carry on with his hand, and that is definitely permissible.
Right. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. It's
final
tough.
Question, inshallah. There are plenty of questions, but we wanted to cover those.
You mean you need a part three?
I think so.
Wallahi, well, you're putting us in such a spot.
Wallahi, but it's look, people are also, remember, people are appreciating this so much because this is one of the topics that is way less talked about than regular topics which people have been educated on.
You know, the sad thing is because of the difference of opinion, there is definitely gray area. So like we say, something is makruh, something is last resort, something is something, you know. The reason why this discussion happens is because there is no clear-cut evidence to say haram, haram, haram. If there was, we wouldn't even be having this discussion like there is regarding anal penetration. But we have to have this discussion because of difference of opinion. The strong difference of, and some of these scholars are scholars of note, you know. It's not just ordinary young people who know nothing. Some of them are scholars of note. But then again, we say, even if they do, they have said something, carry yourself as a person who's respectable and do that which is honorable and enjoy yourself within what is the limit, inshallah.
Keep in mind that experimenting new things doesn't have an end. It's endless. It's limitless. So basically, when you look at the end result, the outcome, which is when both have reached their climax, then it doesn't matter what happened before and during. They have reached their climax. They are in a state of comfort and rest. If every time the person comes up with a new thing, and whether he's not sure halal or haram, or whether he knows it is haram, but you know, for the sake of satisfaction, it's endless. You will get bored of this and you will try something new and something new. How all those things come to one's mind? It only comes through watching what is forbidden. Otherwise, you and I have been created according to the pure nature.
Fitra,
which is a man and woman get together, happen to enjoy the sexual relations, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it takes, a half hour, they relaxed. And then they relaxed. Alhamdulillah, shukrullah. You know what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this regard? This is a friendly advice. If you see a beautiful woman outside or a scene that arouses you, he says, drop everything in hand, go home, enjoy an intimate relationship with your spouse. The same applies to the work, by the way. And then she's got what every other woman have gotten. What does it mean? It means the outcome, the end result, which is once the person, he or she, have reached their climax or simply happen to have sexual discharge, they're relieved. They're in a state of comfort. They wouldn't even, sometimes you would think it was miserable. What we did was disgusting. You know, why did we do this?
Some spouses punish each other by holding back. They said, you know what, I'm going to hold back because I want to punish
themselves.
Yeah, in actual fact, it causes so many other haram things. So, you know, whenever any one of the spouses would like to fulfill their desires, you must oblige. I mean, even the women, sometimes they say, you know, I have an urge for it. I'm at an age where I really am on a high. And this guy is like, he's not even interested. That is wrong. You have to fulfill it as an ibadah, as a duty, as a right, as something. You are the only person who can fulfill it for her.
I have a case.
If you don't, wallahi, what do you expect?
I have a case. The wife is upset with her husband, so she holds back from him. And then she complains that she caught him watching porn. Okay. And I happened to meet with both of them, speak to them. And I thought that he will deny, say it was by mistake, by accident, you know, whatever. No, as a matter of fact, he didn't deny. He said, yeah, because she's refusing to share bed with me. Mm. Yes. And for the first time in my life, I was speechless. It's like, you know, okay, even though this is haram, and I can give him lectures and teachings in this regard, but she was the main cause.
She did haram too. No. By prohibiting
the guy says, I was busy all day, I was at work, I came back, I was tired. No, you are married, you have to come back and you have to be energetic, you have to take an interest in your spouse and so on. On the other hand, the spouse says, I've been all day, busy, cleaning. Even if she goes to work or she's whatever, or she's sitting at home, she says, I've been busy with the kids and with this and I can't and I whatever. We are taught you have to make that sacrifice. Whether you like it or not, you have to make it. That is the ibadah. And that is the act of worship. You know, it's a crazy thing. You were going to say the last question?
Yeah, because we have a lot, plenty of them. I'm not sure. I'm afraid now to promise any part three, but I'll leave that to you to decide. Inshallah, our next journey will be in?
Inshallah.
Africa. We're back to Africa later. We're here from Hong Kong. But inshallah, we'll leave that to later. Maybe we can decide. But the final question is using contraceptive methods during sexual intercourse, like condoms and whatnot, flavored, they call it now flavored condom, to enjoy the oral part of the sex and whatnot, permissibility, halal, haram, what do you think?
Well, wearing condoms or similar contraceptives for women, this is permissible. This is definitely permissible. In order to arouse further towards oral sex, The question was answered in the beginning of the session. But it's definitely much lesser than if it is without the condom or the such contraceptives, because there will be a direct contact with the genitals, which we said that we should really avoid it. For many reasons, pathological, medical reasons, and also the religious reason.
There are many types of...
But we didn't say it is haram.
Yes. There are many types of contraceptives. The reversible ones generally are permissible, but the condition is you must look at the side effects for you with that particular contraceptive. A lot of people complain that the pill causes long-term bloating and it has long-term effects, and then later...
And DVTs.
Yes.
It has a lot of side effects.
So, regular bleeding. So some people prefer the IUD or the coil or different types of medication.
I heard about that. IUD is very popular.
Yes,
very
and popular. You have to make sure that whatever is suitable. Perhaps a lot of people suggest that the condom is probably the most suitable. It might be uncomfortable for the male. Yeah. كُنَّا نَعْزِلُ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَنْزِلُ يعني. So the withdrawal method is effective only for those who have control of it.
Withdrawal a lot of means, people ejaculation, but
outside the yes, private yes. The genitals. So basically, there is a permissibility there, obviously. But one last thing I want to just add. You know, when talking about medication and having medications, this issue of Viagra and the issue of medication to enhance one's libido and one's, yes. So in Islam, generally, you should not take medication without necessity. A guy says he's performing normally and he wants to outperform himself, so he has that and he dies of a heart attack because that dilates everything. Mm-hmm. And it's dangerous. It has long-term effects. Then you will not be able to do it without that medication. So be careful. Yes, if you're having, if you're eating healthy, you're sleeping healthy and you're exercising well, you will automatically be able to operate better. But if you are a person who doesn't eat well, you don't sleep well, you perhaps have, you know, habits, perhaps maybe smoking or drinking, whatever, astaghfirullah al-azim, and drinking is not even supposed to be in the picture and so on. But if people have those, then obviously you're going to weaken your own strength, you know. So to have that medication is not recommended. It's not a good thing. Unless you need it. If someone really needs something, then there is permissibility. So yeah, why
not doctors?
Yes, why I want to say this is a young guy, 25 years old, just got married. He says, Sheikh, you know what? I'd like to use this medication. What do you know?
Well,
I say,
some people come on the night of consummating the marriage, even before experimenting this before, they are given a lot of things to take in order to enhance their sexual ability, and they end up with a terrible night. They rupture the genitals of their spouses and so on.
You know why they do that, Sheikh? I heard from some of my clients because of the fear of failing during the first night.
Habibi, as a result let me take advantage of this and add to the viewers something really important. Actually, a couple of things. Number one, as when you were speaking about contraceptives, you mentioned a specific thing. We're not talking about the hukm of contraceptives in general. This is another matter, delaying the conception. You were talking about it in order to facilitate the oral sex. Okay, so this is something that we discussed. We did not address the hukm of contraceptives in general in order to postpone or to prevent pregnancy and conception. Secondly, every couple, before you get married, you have to attend courses or classes or counseling sessions. And it is very useful. And it enhances the ability of, you know, passing this night safely, knowing how to handle your spouse. And it is for both men and women. Thirdly, if a couple are not enjoying their sexual relations for a reason or another, sometimes they cannot communicate the message or get the message across to each other. Accordingly, they go into their own cave and they start browsing and, you know, enjoying their life in private, their miserable life in private. And that's why I would like to add one more time, wallahi, counseling has helped a lot of families, even in this very private manners, especially when the counselor, medical counselor, religious counselor, knows what he or she is talking about, and they keep their conversation, your conversation with them very confidential, with absolute privacy, and give you some medical or religious hints and steps, scheme to follow, you will see a great deal of improvement. A lot of divorce cases, they were on the edge of divorce because of not finding a solution. Then when they spoke about it, and in the counseling sessions, they realized that it is solvable, it is treatable. So do not jump into conclusion in the final result, which is divorce, before finding a treatment, before giving yourself a chance to find out whether this is something that you can overcome or not. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. You know, we didn't learn reading and writing. Mufti Mink has not become Mufti Mink. Wa'il Ibrahim has not become Wa'il Ibrahim overnight. It's a matter of learning and practicing and in turn getting certificates, experience, in order to share all of that with the viewers in half hour video or 1 hour video and so on. So it takes ages. And that's why even the relationship, the very private relationship between a man and wife, every person thinks that I know better. I'm an expert on that. Wallahi, it seems like you don't know nothing. You know, really, you don't know nothing. You need to learn. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pioneering that. And he taught us so many things in this regard, May Allah's peace and blessings be upon
you. Alhamdulillah. Barakallah feekum. Jazakumullah khairan. You want to add something?
Yes, yes.
Now you interrupted me. Mashallah.
No, no. I'll add this because it's connected to the Viagra that I mentioned earlier and similar medications. You know, there is something called erectile dysfunction where a man it simply cannot get erect. So in that particular case, he needs to be honest with himself. Because I know of so many cases of people who end up getting married knowing their sickness. And then they punish somebody else's daughter. And this person, it's so embarrassing to live with someone and not to be able to just confide in some people. A year later, you find out this guy hasn't touched you, you know. And you wonder, what on earth is going on? You ask him, no, but I'm this and this. Excuses. So we have to be honest with ourselves. And
this is what Dr. Muhammad Salam mentioned last time.
You have to get help.
About the five ahkam of marriage, whenever it is haram for
him. Yes, you can't. You have to actually seek help. And you have to deal with the matter. Don't be ashamed. If you have a problem, deal with it. You can deal with it. Medically, they could help you in a great way in so many cases. There are very few cases where they can't really help you, but otherwise they can help you so much.
Some, even when those who have complete erectile dysfunction, they implant certain machines and it functions with the remote control. I have a case. No, this is permissible. Yes. Alhamdulillah, I've seen a case where, again, they were on the verge of divorce because the wife was like simply not married. And he went through an operation. Wow. It's very costly. This is not penile implantation, though. This is, something that works with the nervous system and using a remote control. And it lasts for as long as he wants. And this is only for people with complete erectile dysfunction. So you need medical advice in this regard. I just wanted to share with you.
Sheikh, the British will ask, is it on the NHS or not? May Allah forgive Allah. Look, I'm first time hearing of this, medicine, but interesting.
Yes. Medicine were mentioned in this episode. That's not a medical suggestion from myself or from Mufti Mink. Maybe from Dr. Muhammad Salah. He's a doctor by profession. So, but anyone who wanted to seek further assistance, you should, talk to your physician, to your doctors, inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah, remind me to speak about the aphrodisiac foods.
So that means there is an episode 3.
No, I think what would happen is then we will start entering territory where everyone's going to be glued to say, what's going on? And then in the comments, they'll say, I ate this and guess what happened, You don't want all of that yet.
Anyway, we leave it at this. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our homes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our spouses, our children. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all harms and all vices in our time until the end of time. Ameen. Until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٌ. On that day when there is no one will avail you in the least except those who will come to Allah with pure heart. May Allah make us among them. Ameen. Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. I love you for the sake of Allah.
Yes,
I
know. It was so tough.
Please. Leave your comments. If you didn't watch the first episode, we will leave a link somewhere.
Try to be as open as possible. And remember, I hope no under 18s.
Please give us the benefit of doubt. Wallahi, it is not easy to present such episode and to answer such very sensitive questions willingly. But this is for the sake of Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.